Okay, I got one.
Got it. Thank you.
And then after I read it, do the intro, and then I'll just cut the song in there.
Okay.
You know, he came around here about a week ago with some cats that I had never seen before. Man, I mean, these cats look mean. Meaner than two fat motherfuckers wrestling over pork chops and greens. Can you dig it?
Hey there, guys and gals. Welcome to the Android Factory Podcast, where our nerd knowledge is on point. We are your hosts, James Von Doom.
I'm Chewy.
He does appear here, and I can indeed dig it.
I can dig it.
Can you dig it?
What are we talking about today?
I don't know. What are
we? To Chewy.
Do you think George Lucas should take the reins back for Lucasfilm? It's a hot topic and a hot rumor going on right now.
Speaking of hot topic,
let's go shopping.
It is. It's crazy rumors. Let's do it. But yeah. First,
let's do the picks. Who wants to go first?
Three toes.
Okay. Is that my intro?
Yeah. Awesome. Now get to it, you son of a bitch.
That's okay. It's still better than every intro I've ever done. All right. I'm going to sneak in two.
You bastard, again?
I'm going to go new and old. I'm going to start with new. I don't know how soon this is going to drop. Chewy, how soon is this going to drop? Say soon.
This will drop tomorrow. This weekend.
Killer. All right, so this is right now. People, as you're listening, because of course you listen
people
the day this
Earth.
Drops. You are going to go to Virtual San Diego Comic-Con. We are in the midst of it. It's happening. It started yesterday. I feel that the nerd presence isn't totally as engaged. I can see by your complete lack of, we're on board already.
No.
You have not been engaged yet?
No, I knew it was going on. I was actually waiting for today to kind of like talk to you guys and see if any of you guys were doing it.
Well, let's talk. The schedule started Wednesday, and for me, it was a little light-ish, but I started to go through and see there's a fair amount today that I'm interested in. And
okay.
So what's cool about it is it's all managed through the SDCC main site. They've got the schedule each day. Wednesday, Thursday is pretty full days, definitely Saturday, Sunday, full days. And it's basically all hyperlinks to YouTube, where it's all pretty much Zoom calls, as far as I can tell, like kind of Zoom panels between the groups. But there is a ton of stuff out there. And my favorite thing, I think, so far, as I've been kind of feeling it out, is that after the panels happen, they exist as just a YouTube show. So they stay on YouTube. Okay. So you don't have to watch them live. I'm guessing there will be several that you have to, because it's just going to show stuff that they don't want to stay out on ether. But so far as I've been, like, there hasn't been a lot of panels I wanted to see, but I've just clicked through and they're sitting there. And then coming up today, there's going to be a huge panel for The Boys Season 2, which I'm excited about. There's some stuff on Mystery Science Theater. There's some Kung Fu stuff that's appealing to me, but there's so many panels. And like I say, if they do leave them on YouTube, it's just something you can visit later. It's awesome. It's really awesome. So, and they do have a fair amount of star power. So that's why I picked it for today, because even if people listen to this after the fact, I still think you can go out and either just search for the SDCC virtual on YouTube or just use the links to the site. But it's cool. So I'm excited about it.
Is it all free?
Absolutely.
Really?
It's all free. And I thought you had to sign up. Like, originally they were saying you had to sign up and do something, but I think that was just to get into their like virtual, like a part of their page where you could organize all the things you wanted to see. So if you wanted to go in and do the research and then make a page full of links of just custom for you, there was a login. But so far, any of the click-throughs I've done have worked. So it's awesome.
I was totally under the assumption that they would charge for like specific panels, like if you wanted to see a specific panel.
Nothing. Yeah. So it's great. So check it out. So that's new.
Wait, before we go, I got a quick question for you, Three Chills. When did you say The Boys Season 2 is coming out?
November 24th. I feel like it's right around Thanksgiving.
It's September 4th.
What? Wait. Are you sure?
Yeah. Because I was talking to my old man about it, and he's like, yeah, he was thinking it was like the end of July, which I reminded him was the Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
But even The Boys Season 2, I'm like, there's no way. I thought it was coming out sooner. So I have it at...
Oh, no, no, no. I totally apologize. No. You're right. I got them confused. So September 4th is The Boys Season 2. Umbrella Academy Season 2 is July 31st. And the November date was Ready Player 2, and something else was dropping that week that escapes me now. So you're totally right. No, I'm sorry. It's September. Thank you for clarifying. Woof.
Of course, man. I mean, I'm here to try and call out your mistakes as often as possible.
I count on it. I do, but I'm glad you held me on here for, because I have something that you want to know and your significant other wants to know.
Go on.
The only reason I brought up the Comic-Con is because I did find one panel that happened earlier today that is posted, that used as a test run. And it is, thank you for bringing up the boys, an upcoming show on Amazon called Truth Seekers. Have you heard the name?
I have.
It's going to be a single series run of like 8 episodes. It's the reuniting of Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Shut your mouth.
A comedy X-Files type of show. They're ghost hunters in an X-Files type of comedy vein. And it's going to be hitting Amazon. I don't remember the dates. I was trying to look it up. But there's a panel that just dropped a couple hours ago interviewing with them. So this is not, it's not done with Edgar Wright, who is usually, they were the trio.
Yeah, which, trio. I mean, basically, the trilogy of the trilogy is him and those two guys.
Correct. And it's you know, and one of their breakaways was, I need to revisit because it was the first time they broke away without him. And I thought it was was Paul. But
Paul,
I
do need... we just watched that like 2 weeks ago for some reason.
How is it on revisit?
It's not bad. I mean, it's not great. To your point, it's not the Cornetto trilogy, but
it should be better. Yeah. So but there's a panel up of them. I just started to click through it and I was like, duh, that's why I got to bring it up today. So that's instant nerd cred. And it's the reuniting of the Shaun of the Dead gang. So more or less. So yeah.
Nice. So, awesome. So Virtual Con is your pick of the week.
It's part of it. Half. The other half, I'm going to go old, is, and I can't believe I didn't bring this up last week. Last week, when we did the question of what are we going to do since there's no movies coming out, no movie theaters, the reason that entire question came up is because I had an answer that I didn't even give, which is I have been going back and trying to watch old movies, somewhat along the lines of classics, that I've just not watched for a very long time, ever. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. We're not going to get much new stuff. Find some old stuff that's supposed to be great. And I'm going to start with a quick review of a couple Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick,
Okay.
Kubrick.
That weird ass.
That's the one. So I revisited A Clockwork Orange and Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Love the Bomb. A Clockwork Orange is a movie I saw way too fucking young. Like, I snuck this movie at a very young age. It was way too young. And I say this not really caring about seeing a lot of stuff young, impressionable, but it was so jarring to me that I haven't seen the movie.
I feel like you could watch that on your deathbed. Like, that's a good time to watch it. Like, you know what? You got it in and you're done.
Wait, can I say something? Does this make sense that watching A Clockwork Orange is too, like a young gentleman in high school listening to The Doors? Like, it's just like, it's something that you have to do. Like,
I think it is. I think it's a gateway.
And then you move on.
Oof, it's so fucked me up that like now rewatching it, and I must've seen it since then, maybe once, but so much of that movie was burned into my brain, and I have the worst memory of anybody I know, but I'm like scene by scene, I'm like, oh, I know what's happening next. So that being said, and in a way, I kind of didn't want to revisit it, but I'm like, everybody calls this thing a classic, and everybody says it's so deep, and I'm like, it was just fucked up when I saw it. Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. It is definitely not for everybody. It is definitely a hard watch. It is a hard watch. Like, no matter how desensitized we become.
Hard watch.
All right, we know the sicko is in the group.
Yeah.
But it's the story arc, and fucking McDowell is... His look, and it's iconic. It's on every poster. I mean, it's been done a zillion times. The look of the Droogs has been parodied and referenced, and it's throughout punk and music and other. But his fucking stare, which the opening scene is just that kind of look down through the hat up at his eye and a pull back through the freaky milk bar. Fuck, it's worth it alone. Visually, the movie's incredible. From a music standpoint, it's all over the boards with these weird classical music because of his obsessions with Beethoven. And then from a story arc, wow, it's, again, not for everybody. But I was floored with how much I love that movie. And then the other one was Dr. Strangelove, which is known as, a lot of people consider it one of the funniest dark comedies. And a lot of people say one of the funniest movies of all time. I don't know if I agree with that. And I do still think it's a weird, 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 dark satire. But I really enjoyed rewatching it. And there's some stuff with Peter Sellers. He does three characters in it. And the main one, the Dr. Strangelove, which everybody knows, is very, he's doing it very little. But he's got this like 10-minute speech at the end that was, I had not cackled like that in a very long time. So it's a twisted flick, and it's actually, I think it's more, people say dark satire and comedy. I'm like, it's actually a much deeper kind of like reflection on how fucked up things are with government power, and what happens when it gets kind of a little bit misused. So it's a pretty, I think both of these flicks are pretty timely.
Yeah,
very timely. Very, very timely. Yeah. And the idea of how news can be altered and used. And it's so, and I'm really digging Kubrick. So I'm actually going to go down that rabbit hole and try to catch up on more of his that I haven't seen.
He's going down some holes for sure.
Eyes Wide Shut is on the list.
that's a dark rabbit hole to go down, seeing like what we're all going through, like as a society right now, like 100%. Going. Yeah.
Real it absolutely dark is. Hole. It's very and it's this whole very neo future depressing all around and in both cases. But that's in a nutshell. I am going to go back and I'm going to try to revisit a lot of these classics that I haven't seen, and I will pepper those in every so often because I think there's an opportunity for we in the modern age to miss out on some of the old stuff. And so I'm going to try to give our fans a little bit of something to look back for. So cool.
Excellent. So Virtual Con and Stanley.
Kubrick.
Cool.
Come back. And with no further ado, here is Dude's pick of the week.
All right. So pick of the week is Pacific Rim.
What?
Sorry. I was waiting for the reactions. No, my pick of the week is not Pacific Rim.
I was excited.
No one was excited.
I finally wanted to talk about that movie on the cast.
So my pick of the week is, I don't know if you guys are aware, but the day before the Umbrella Academy releases on Netflix, Transformers War for Cybertron, the anime series, is coming to Netflix on July 30th, and it is maybe the most excited I've ever been for a Transformers anything.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
So, have you seen the Transformer movies? Any of them?
All of them, mostly.
Mostly, right? They're like, the first one I enjoyed, the rest of them kind of have fell by the wayside. The most recent one, did you see Bumblebee?
No, it's on deck, but you liked it, right?
Bumblebee was a good time. It was a fun time, and Chewie, I know you've seen it, right, buddy?
Yeah, I have.
What's the best parts?
Bumblebee are the computer-generated... scenes that they have on Cybertron. Yeah,
this is a show that is basically just Cybertron. There's no humans, thank God. There's no loving. It's just big robots transforming, blowing shit up. I mean, it's everything a Transformers fan has wanted. They're kind of based off the games a little bit. I don't know if you guys played any of the PS3 titles for the Transformer games. Phenomenal. If you can play them now, I think you can maybe download them in the store for like $5. Great times. Loved them. And then out of nowhere, this gets announced. And if you haven't, do yourself a favor. It's a 2-minute trailer.
I'm watching it right now. See? Like, I just wanted to see what the visual style was going to be. Yeah, it looks really cool.
It looks like one of the more epic. I don't know. I mean, they say it's a cyborg mech anime. I mean, but it's all CGI. There's no actual animation.
Did you say no humans?
No humans.
Hey, bro. Wait a minute, bro. What about me, bro? What about me and my Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg is actually the voice of Megatron.
Okay, bro. That's cool, bro.
So, and then, ironically...
Is that Robot from Boston?
I'm going to go park my car. Park.
Park the car.
Park the car.
Wicked. So I can't wait. I have no review on it, unfortunately. It doesn't drop for 7 days. But I have a feeling that it will be my... click to pick
7 days. Holy fuck. So how many eps is it?
That I'm trying to find. I think it's like a
so like I'm taking a look
episode
at,
season.
Well, I'm taking a look at YouTube, and it says Transformers War for Cybertron trilogy.
Yeah,
dude.
So is this going to be excited? Is this going to be three big episodes?
I'm thinking I think that's what they were saying. Like, it's
that's even better. It's like mini movies. I'll take that any day of the week.
It's kind of, you know, I was a little bummed that I didn't see, I don't think any of the original actors are coming back to voice it, but
that's fine.
Who gives a shit at this point? It's what I want in a Transformers show.
Yeah. And here's the big problem. Here's a problem though. No. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this with my son most likely because he is obsessed with Transformers right now. Like crazy obsessed. But watching something like this is going to get him from ankles deep to neck deep. And then I'm never going to be able to go to a store again without him begging for some action figure.
All I can tell you is this, Chewie.
No. He's seen parts of Bumblebee.
Transformers, man.
Yeah. Well,
the best toys of all time.
Yeah,
but they were kind of like our favorites growing up. They're huge. And I was like kind of after the fact on those, but they were huge.
Yeah, but have you checked out like the new Transformers toys?
They're amazing, but they're difficult as shit. Yeah, like, I know. They're tough to transform.
And so you said he's seen some of Bumblebee, but not just like bits and pieces? Because I'm thinking about throwing that at the kid.
I fast-forwarded a couple parts in the beginning of Bumblebee because they're doing like some mock military runs, but I think they're using like paintball to kind of get past. Probably to get a PG rating or something like that. But he's watched it. I didn't want to go on record of saying he's watched it, but
he's watched it.
I understand.
Yeah.
So here, real quick, gentlemen, there are 6 episodes in the Siege portion of the trilogy, each running 22 minutes. So you're getting basically, you're going to get a 3 hours?
Now? Yeah.
2 hours.
About 2.5 hours of the first part of the trilogy. And then today, I don't know if you guys, I don't want to say Three Toes is older, like in the sense that, I don't want to say
fuck off.
No.
I don't. I'm not.
So don't do that. But I don't know if this would have been even on your radar in the day. Like, this was a 90s thing. Chewie, do you remember Beast Wars?
Oh, yeah.
So that might have been the biggest for me. Like, growing up, I think I associated more with Beast Wars because that was on kind of as I was growing up. Because Transformers was around, like, the movie was 86 when I was born. So, the Beast Wars were where it's at. I think Netflix just teased that they're optioning for a Beast Wars show now.
Wow.
In the same vein. So,
Danny. Oh, I'm excited.
I was ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. Whatever happened to, like, didn't they like want to create like a toy universe movie, like shared universe thing with like Transformers and G.I. Joe and all that stuff?
They actually did a graphic novel on that, actually.
Did it all fall apart though? Really?
Yeah, it did.
It's garbage.
Could you imagine Channing Tatum is fucking, I don't even know, G.I. Joe and some like, I'm not upset that fell apart.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Virtual Con, Kubrick, and War for Cybertron. Those are some good picks. Who wants to see me in?
All right. Whoa. Oh, there it is. Respect.
Nice.
Transform. God, such a good show.
Yeah, I'm actually, I really don't have much of a connection with it, and that's when I was going to throw it at the kids soon. So, and that was from 84 to 2009. Holy cow.
For the podcast listeners, Three Toes just showed some, are those?
Beta that's tapes. A series.
Collectible tins of the animated series. The
original Transformers series. I think I got them at like Half Price Books for a nickel.
All right.
Yeah, who wants to see me in?
All right, now it's time for Bilbo T. Baggins' Pick of the Week.
Ah, jeez. No one's called me that since back in the day.
Thursday?
Yeah. So my pick of the week is a movie that I watched last night. I needed a break from The Last of Us 2. I needed a break from the...
You watched 28 Days?
From the sunshine and rainbows, that is.
Yeah. Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, no, I did not watch that. I watched a movie last night that I wanted to kind of discuss with you guys a little bit. And it's my pick of the week, not because I loved it, but just because I watched it. And I know it's a movie that you guys wanted to watch. And
I'm giving it the rating of meh.
That's going to end up on the video case. Hey, I watched it.
I'm going to talk about it because I watched it.
And I'm bringing this up because this is a movie that Three Toes, you were like, oh man, I can't wait to watch that movie. So this is a movie from the writer of Deathgasm, and he worked on the visual effects of The Avengers and War for the Planet of the Apes. And I believe he directed, I was looking it up.
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Well, no, he directed Deathgasm.
I do need to talk to you about that, Doom, at some point.
It's
a Potter question.
Oh, okay.
So this director hasn't done much yet, but for this movie, he got some pretty big names.
Come on, I just gave you a hint, Three Toes. What the shit?
He got Daniel Radcliffe in it. He got Samara Weaving in it.
Oh, you watched Guns Akimbo.
And I watched Guns Akimbo.
Oh, have I not talked about that yet?
No. I don't think you talked about
it. Interesting. Okay, go for it. I own it.
Is your review a meh too?
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to take it. You're not going to take over his. But before you begin, let's go through this scene by scene. So I think that at the first shot, when he gets the thing screwed to his hands, and then there's the next scene. She's crazy and does drugs. But then there's the next scene, which is a shootout. But
there's drugs involved?
No.
I actually watched it 11 days ago, and I can't tell you 5 minutes of it. But that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
What do you think? God,
man, we just love this movie. Come on. Chewie, lay it on us.
That was my same review. Is that I watched it last night, and I really couldn't tell you much about it. I was telling Doom, I'm going to categorize it in the same genre as Crank.
Yep.
Hardcore Henry.
100% of you're going to say that.
However, it's not as good as those two films.
I believe I agree.
I had a really great time watching Crank and Crank 2. I really loved Hardcore Henry because of like the how groundbreaking it was. But Guns Akimbo was okay. It was fun, but I remember looking at my watch halfway through going like,
oh, that's not good.
When is this going to end? Knowing that it was a 98-minute movie. So when a movie is 98 minutes long and you're already halfway through looking at your watch, it's not keeping you engaged. There's some cool stuff. There's some cool visual stuff in it, but I had some problems with the music. I had some problems with the genericness of some of
the directing. Was it all just Prodigy the whole time?
No, it was...
Back my bitch.
I'm the highest daughter.
No, very... Almost the opposite of Prodigy. It was very like some of it was just very strange, like generic
Tony
like,
Braxton,
like generic music you would buy from like a music service. It just wasn't it just didn't really hit me. I mean, there were some memorable scenes, I guess. Samara Weaving, it was kind of weird to see her with bleached eyebrows. I didn't really recognize her at first.
I know, right?
They
made her look a little less appealing. It's weird.
Yeah. And I really like her, and I'm excited for her. Isn't she in the Bill and Ted's 3 movie?
She is. I think she's on the cusp of a breakout. Certainly a B movie breakout. Like she's really I think she's.
What's
amazing.
Her name?
Samara Weaving.
Samara Weaving.
She's opposite. What's his name? Glenn in the Mayhem Office Rage movie. She was in. She's Hugo Weaving's daughter. She's.
What has she been in? Why do I know this face?
Oh, she was in a babysitter thing on Netflix. She was in Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Was it a horror movie? The horror movie that you
and
I watched?
Was she in?
She was in Ready or Not.
Ready or Not.
Yeah, Ready or Not. She's amazing in it. That's her breakout role. She's incredible. Yeah. And that movie's so fucking good. I love that movie.
Yeah.
You know what, dude? I actually had the exact same review as you. I think I felt like halfway through, I was like, this movie just feels a little too easy. Like it feels like they kind of just like they were so happy with the concept and it's a fun action flick and I love like popcorn actioners and there is some really creative stuff and I had a very fun time with it, but it's very disposable. It's very, they didn't do a whole lot new with it. And I think the movies you compared it to that's perfect. But I do like Crank. I feel the Crank series and I know Statham is a big name now and gets $1 billion every Fast and Furious movie, but there's no movie I'd rather see
in Crank
in
3
the whole genre than Crank 3, because the Crank movies are just batshit. That's the only way you could describe them, and they go to places that no one else would dare go. So this movie did some really weird shit, but it's you know what it is it's when it hits Netflix or it hits Amazon Prime, it is a great 10 o'clock on a Friday three cocktails.
That's how I watched it. I think that's probably my gripe with it was that it wasn't batshit crazy. I thought I was going into a movie that was going to be batshit crazy. Well, it teases it, but it never really gets there. And it's just pretty generic and vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's basically just one long ruined orgasm.
Yeah, pretty much. So my pick of the week is Guns Akimbo. Don't watch it.
All right. Well, I'm going to chuck. I got to rent it. So now I'm not going to even rent it. There's no reason.
It's free. It's free on Amazon Prime, I think.
Oh, it is. That's right.
Is it already?
It hit Prime. Oh, boom. There you go. Boom.
All right. Well, maybe I'll pop it in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Good. But to sidestep a little bit, Bill and Ted's 3 trailer, new trailer dropped today. It doesn't look bad to me anymore. Did you watch the trailer?
Do you know what looks bad? That those two are considered actors. Like, and I love Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
National Treasure?
Why are you trying to pick a fight every cast?
I'm not.
Is it because of the social distancing?
He's one of my favorite humans on the planet.
Go on.
I have defended that man since The Matrix, okay?
Go on.
Two family members, for the record. But he just looks so bad. Like, they just the way they speak, it's so painful to listen to.
I do have to say this. Winter, I think, is doing a good job. I think he looks and feels like the original character.
Yes.
I think Reeves is having a hard time getting that doe-eyed blank look in his face that he had in the original movies, like that look of like just like not being there.
Yeah.
He looks too connected. Like he looks older and he looks too wise to play the role again.
And
it's strange.
There's a fair amount of makeup on him because in the first, we talked about those first clips, there was something a little bit off. And at first I was like, are they doing something soft filter with him? But there is, because Winter looks great and young old, whereas Keanu naturally doesn't look old, but in here that the look is, I think you're right. It's trying to get that confused look again. It's kind of
just,
like,
why can't you let him have a beard? Like, I feel like if you just gave Ted the beard,
yeah,
I think he would look more like just a normal dude. I feel like the beard makes him look younger. And he doesn't really look old to your point to begin with. So when you shave the beard, he looks like he's in his 30s.
So the good news on this one is that I sent you guys the tease yesterday from Winter's Twitter that he said news coming soon. I think it dropped today.
Going straight to streaming.
They are going to do a simultaneous limited theater release. They're just saying that, assuming there's going to be a theater open, and it's going to be on VOD. Drop date, I should have it. But it's sometime, it's not soon, but soon-ish. So
around the same time as Tenet.
Please. You are trying to start a fight. I understand. I'm gonna let you finish.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm excited for it.
That would have killed me.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. So remember I asked not too long ago in a cast, I'm like, what are they gonna do with the music? Because if you remember, the sequel had a really big soundtrack that it included people like Kiss. I think Slaughter was on there. Winger. Well,
dude, you should have started with Slaughter and ended with Slaughter.
So this just in, September 1st release, limited theater and VOD. And I'm going to pay for that shit. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will as well. However, so that soundtrack, I was always wondering, like, what are they going to do? Like, who are they going to get on there? A Post Malone? Like,
Avril Lavigne?
Yeah, exactly. However,
I don't think they could afford Post.
Someone I didn't think of, and it really sounds like his sound in the trailer, if you watch the trailer again, and it really sounds like Andrew W.K.
Oh!
And if you think about it, that might be a great choice for that soundtrack.
Because when it's time to party, we will party hard.
Yeah.
Party. He did come out with a new album not too long ago.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Past 3 years. Yeah. And I really, really liked him more than just for the shtick that he was. But I bought the new album and the first track on it was, it's time to party. There was almost no music. And for like 85 seconds, it's him saying the word party. I was like, oh, he's in on this bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that would be, that's perfect.
I get wet. The best album title of all time.
It's pretty great.
2001. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I got it right in the CD rack next to Slippery When Wet by Bon Jovi. So
The Jove.
Okay. Well, hopping off that Bon Jovi reference, let's go to the topic of the week, which makes sense.
Seems like a good transition.
Should George Lucas just go away?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's not the question.
Or should, as the rumors is saying, Disney give him back the reins of Lucasfilm?
No.
That's it for the podcast this month.
All right.
This is going to be much easier than I thought. first things first. Now, you'd sent a message this week that breaks it down into a couple different ways, and that's important. Yeah. So he would come in as what? Like lead?
To replace Kathleen Kennedy.
Okay. Which,
can somebody explain to me what she do in the Star Wars universe?
That's your answer. I mean,
she came up with the midichlorians. She came up with all the love scenes between Anakin.
So really, she fucked up the prequels. Yeah. I get what you're saying. bitch gone.
Well, to answer your question, I believe what people believe she did was so she drives like the big decision making in terms of what happens with the IP. So she was making decisions for everything from the movies to the TV to like Galaxy's Edge. At Disney World, she would have help with these decisions from her her reports, such as can't remember his name off the top of my head, Favreau in them. And the directors that she would hire.
And fire. You can thank her for the Spider-Verse, true story.
Yeah.
Because she fired Lord and Miller from Solo.
Solo. And they took that.
And they went off and did fucking.
But it really amazing. Sounds to me like maybe the old setup was that she ran the show and she hired the directors and the storytellers to kind of do their job. And I think they're going to change that to where they want someone to run the show and then they want someone to run the film part of it. They want someone to run the TV part of it. So someone like a Lucas could just sit on top and kind of oversee everything. I think a lot of people believe that Kathleen Kennedy injected the feminism into Star Wars, injected the that leftist ideology into Star Wars, which a lot of people don't like. So that's what people want to see go. They want to see political...
Get the women out of Star Wars. Yeah.
They want to see the political garbage taken out of Star Wars and then people just kind of focus on the storytelling of Star Wars.
I don't like... I'm not saying that George Lucas should or should, like, Dave Filoni is the best thing that ever happened to Star Wars, really, after the original trilogy. Like, George Lucas did the original three. He did a good job. The prequels, you love them, hate them, or they're meh, whatever. I mean, I don't mind them, but they're not good movies. They have good parts, but they're not good films. The animated series, Star Wars, The Clone Wars, that Dave Filoni was the bait, like, it was his baby. That is perfect from pretty much start to finish. He did the final season just recently. Damn near a perfect experience. Just give the man the fucking reins. Like, let him do his thing. Favreau, co-direct with him. I mean, they did The Mandalorian together, and it's the most popular thing since Return of the Jedi. Like, I don't understand why it's and the fact that they're thinking of bringing in Feige.
Yeah.
Why not? Just fit. I mean, it's the biggest franchise in the world. Just throw the big names at it right now. George Lucas is great, but he's 100 years old.
I don't have to speak. You said everything I want to say, but you said it with better names. Because I think that I like Lucas. I like his legacy. And I like the idea of him being back involved because it's his baby and that's fine. But I do think I think it needs an infusion of youth. I think it needs an infusion of consistency and overall planning. And I think it's just been piecemealed. And so I think that he could come in, but he is too old. And I'm saying that not trying to be ageist, but I think he's too old to necessarily dictate the future and dictate the storylines. And he himself kind of pulled back. Like, a lot of people give him a lot of, but even in the original series, the original three movies, he didn't even fucking direct the second one, which was the smartest move ever.
And and I respect him for that.
100%. And the guy, writing has always been his passion. And so, bring him in. He can help infuse some things, but I don't want him to come in a dictatorial role of like, it's my way or the highway, trade wars all the way down. Like, fuck no, we do need. And so when you bring up the Clone Wars and you bring up the younger guys who kind of helped bring in the things like the Mandalorian, which went back to some basic storytelling.
It was simple. And it transcended everything. There are people who either never liked Star Wars or, kind of distanced themselves from it that The Mandalorian brought back. Like, they're back to being Star Wars fans because of that show. Like, to me, I'm not an executive at any studio, but that would be enough to me. Like, these are the guys. They're going to do everything until they fuck it up. I mean, Feige had his thing in Marvel. Give these guys Star Wars.
Yes. You mentioned having Filoni run the show. I don't think that's an option.
Not run the show. And I'm sorry. I don't mean like whatever Kathleen Kennedy was, but I mean make him the Feige of Star Wars.
Yeah. I don't think he's even qualified for, I mean, like, who am I to say he's not qualified, but
you dick.
But if you watch, like, let's say the docu-series that's on Disney Plus, where he's a big part of it. He is clearly a wired differently artist. Like, he's hyper focused on the story of Star Wars, and he's good in that respect. And I think he would be great in, let's say, running all of the animated series or Disney Plus or something like that, or overseeing all story arcs for, like, let's say, film, animated series, and Disney Plus. What would your thoughts be on? So people have been kind of dropping Feige's name in to take over for Star Wars. I can see Feige hopping in Kathleen Kennedy's shoes, but then who would you slide in to oversee Marvel? Would you let Feige keep his feet in Marvel, or would you slide someone like James Gunn in, who they say they've been grooming to take his place as well?
Oh, fucking Gunn.
Yeah, why not?
And wouldn't you feel confident knowing that James Gunn was kind of overseeing the
he would be my first choice out of everybody that's been involved with that stuff. And I know the Russo brothers have done probably more in the overall storytelling and delivery of like the greatest flicks, but James Gunn, that guy, he's gone through some shit with the whole Me Too business, but if you follow him, like I follow him, I read his tweets, that guy is he's genuinely a caring, like passionate fan.
And he loves the subject material.
100%. He fucking obsesses about it. And when people come at him with stuff, and even people come at him with stuff like, hey, remember back when you said this or did this, and they're kind of baiting him. He's like, well, and he'll come at it with this just really logical approach. And I'm a different guy now. And that guy has just got such a good head on his shoulders. And the stuff he did with Guardians 1 and 2, untouchable. So yeah. And you know what? I bet you his Suicide Squad's going to be fucking great. And so he would be a great choice. And I think there's been enough time and distance from some of the crap that he went through that they would probably see that. And Feige's amazing. He's had an amazing run, but why not?
How happy are you guys that his canceling didn't follow through or was reversed by Disney?
Like they're letting him back into the world of Disney.
Yeah, exceptionally. Yeah. I mean, like, I think everybody realized that how that at the time
how
that was the right move.
Stupid that shit was.
But at the time, the studio heads.
I still don't know how much I agree with it, even at the time of what it was. It's something he said 10 years ago.
100. Yeah, but at the same time, you got all these suits, and they're looking at the numbers and money.
It's Disney, guys. It's the mouse. Disney. Iron Fist.
Yeah,
but we talked about this before. They hired him. I knew a pretty good amount of him in his past, and when they hired him for Guardians, we were talking about it on like
previous. Yeah, I remember that.
I was like, why, how the fuck did they give this guy a job? I mean, who the fuck are the Guardians of the Galaxy? I know you knew Doom, but who the fuck are they? Yeah. Who cares? But how do they give this guy a job? Like, there's no logical way. His resume would have to be like one item on it, which is I did
Slither.
Like, we couldn't even really say that. Super, I guess, maybe, which is a really dark, weird movie. He could almost not give them anything from his past, because if they've seen it, like, this guy's fucked up, and he's great.
Yeah, in regards to someone like Gunn taking over Marvel, he is the one director that kind of propelled the MCU into the galactic nature, correct? Like, he's the one that kind of took it out there, which is where they say the universe is going.
Yep.
So they could make a lot
of sense.
They
better.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we were going to place bets on the future of Star Wars, what is the best? Because I think we know that Kathleen Kennedy's out. Like, the rumor mill is way too strong about that. That's the one thing I think you can say is a shoo-in, is that she's not going to be sticking around. We don't know anything else. And anything else is hearsay.
Look at it like sports teams. I mean, like, think about how like coaches get like bounced around for most part. Some coaches have like legacies and stay with teams. And all the individuals we're talking about have been with a series or a studio or a topic. What's the word for just like Marvel versus Star Wars? Whatever. They've been with it for a very long time. So she's been with this for a very long time. Feige's been with Marvel for a very long time. So shaking this all up, it's not a bad idea. And we're now at a kind of a cleansing point with Star Wars anyway, where they really need to kind of rethink. And that's another question, which is a bigger one to me. So what do they do? All right, they shake it up, bring in new names. Where do they go? We talked a little bit about, do they try to reboot 789? I don't think that's doable.
I'm telling you, Three Joes, that is happening.
I don't think you can do that.
I don't remember who I was talking to who hated the new trilogy, hated it, thought it was the worst thing ever happened to Star Wars. And, you know, I know there's definitely people out there who would agree with him, but he said, he's like, you know what, if Disney, they rebooted it, I'd watch them. Like, I mean, I don't think people would be opposed to the reboot. I wouldn't be. I mean, I don't think they were the worst things ever, but at the same time, that last one was bad.
No.
But I mean, that's something I meant to ask too, as Three Chills just brought it up. You know, what are they going to do once they switch it up? Wasn't there like a huge announcement that they were going to go, I couldn't remember if it was back 1,000 years or forward 1,000 years. They were going to release all these new books, all these new games, all these What happened to that?
Well, that's when they had the guys from Game of Thrones on board to do their trilogy.
The Weiss and Benioff were going to do. Well, they were also talking about what, the Old Republic. That was when you guys were really stoked about.
That was what I was hoping for. But I think the announcement was, I think it's like 1,000 years in the future. It's not connected to the Jedi or Skywalkers or anything like that. And everyone was like, all right, cool. Let's see where this goes. And then it was just, just poof, gone.
Well, I read an article and I can't seem to find it where there were like terms listed out like for George Lucas to return. Like he had like four things that he wanted to happen that would allow for him to be okay with coming back and kind of having a say in what was going on. And one of those things was allowing him to create the sequel trilogy that he had planned. Oof. And that sounds kind of far-fetched to me. However, who knows what happens? Who knows how?
Yeah, but the other problem with both the reboot and him doing that is if there's any alignment or allegiance to the original actors, I mean,
who has that?
They're getting up there, and so, but that's kind of what JJ hung his hat on with the reboot of the new series. So, do you try to reboot the reboot with those characters again?
I was thinking the same thing. No offense, there ain't no fucking way Harrison Ford's coming back.
No,
there's no way they're getting that dude back. Unfortunately, Carrie Fisher's passed. Like that whole thing would have to be rewritten. Where it's basically, if Mark Hamill was like, "Oh fuck, I'll do it."
Well, you know who would come back?
Everything off of him.
Mark Hamill would come back.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I would hope so.
Yeah, he's Star Wars. He's Star Wars. He would. Yeah.
So who would you put in charge? Who would make you happy? Name who would you want to be in charge of?
I mean, I guess it's got to be Roseanne Barr.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank God.
That's who I have.
Something.
I have her name written down in my number two slot.
It's weird. I was going to say Sarah Gilbert, actually. So we were close.
Yeah. So who would you have run the whole kit and caboodle? And then who would you have run the films, the animation, and the TV?
Honestly, I think for what you guys said, like if James Gunn became the guy who ran Marvel, I still think like I would do a joint. I would give the whole kit and caboodle to Favreau and Filoni. I saw those guys speak at the convention last year, and to the reason that I think you guys love the fact that you would see Gunn in for Marvel, Dave Filoni is Star Wars more than anyone besides, like, he's basically George Lucas's son that he never had. So I don't think anyone would do the company more justice than him. And he is wired differently. He's a weird guy, but I think maybe that's where the counterpart of Favreau, who's a little bit more socially normal, could kind of balance it out. Like I think they could handle the universe together.
There's a strange video of Favreau and Filoni, like backstage, like on, I think, The Mandalorian, where they're both standing by like a prop. And I can't remember what was actually said, but I think like Filoni picks up a prop and he's like, this isn't this is the same shade of orange that it was in Empire or something like that. And then Favreau looks at him. He's like, huh? Yeah. What?
Exactly. Like that, and
so there'd be yin yang to that relationship. That's probably
what the fuck is this guy talking about?
And Favreau's been around the block a couple times. Favreau's interesting too, because Favreau, he has these big wins, but he's got some big losses too. So he's got the up.
Lion King. I mean, I didn't.
I was also thinking Cowboys versus Aliens and stuff.
Hate that movie. I didn't like it.
I should probably.
I didn't love it. I know. For who was in it, it should have been better.
Yeah,
but so the other question though, if you go that route, is can you have two leaders? And I don't know if you can. You can
president, vice president. Come on.
Yeah, that seems to work just fine right now. Thanks.
Does Feige have a connection to Star Wars? Has he ever mentioned Star Wars? Like, is there any information out there in terms of like how he could be connected? Like, does he like Star Wars?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of want somebody who really is passionate about it to own it.
Yeah. Well, what are the negatives about having Lucas come in? I mean, other than the ones that we just said, like he's
besides
old.
Besides the fact that him and his jowls are like 98. I mean,
his enormous jowl. Like I said,
What if he's just a, and I don't know the correct word, what if he's put in place just as a
ambassador figurehead?
Yeah.
Okay.
To make people happy.
I could see that.
He was the god of Lucasfilm since when was ever it was created, like 77 till 10 years ago, maybe less, 5 years ago. What did he do in the 40-year span he was at the top? He put out 6 movies, 3 of which were shit, and a handful of video games that I don't know if that was even him or his gaming division. Like, yeah. I don't know. He doesn't have, like, the best thing he ever did was create the sound.
He did write the Raiders of the Lost Ark series. So I'm just going to ask you.
You know
I'm
my
just...
feelings on that. I'm just kidding. I love Indiana
3
Jones.
3 strikes, you're out.
No, Indiana Jones was great, yeah.
Of course.
No, but I mean, okay, you wrote Raiders. In terms of Star Wars, 3 toes.
I got you. I got you. Get me back on track. Malfunisa.
You created Jar Jar Binks.
Wubba.
Neil created me, Watto. With the little kid and these little robots.
That's pretty good. You get there. Hey, and what about me, bro?
And is it me or does it feel like
all my impressions suck?
The
I mean, I
the at least right now, at least as far as we could tell, the old school Star Wars, the Star Wars that really hits the older generation or like the original fans hard is what's being made for TV. Is the Mandalorian? Is all the rumors about the Obi-Wan show coming back? It's like all that stuff, and they might hand that to Favreau and be like, "Hey, handle that generation, handle that demographic, make them happy. We'll figure out the movies." I don't know. It's
yeah, and probably right now, and honestly, right now, especially Jesus with the whole theater thing, they almost need to put all their energy into the TV shows and series. I mean, there's bigger bang for the buck. That's kind of the future of everything is longer terms. So. It's almost like it doesn't matter who they pick for movies for a little bit, because I don't think they're going to put anything into production for a lot of it. So they almost got to figure out the TV side first, and they've got a good start.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, no offense, would you care about the episode 7.2, or would you rather see Obi-Wan Kenobi show?
I'd rather watch a really good show.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, give me that. I'll take that in Mandalorian Season 2.
Yeah.
Especially if Rosario Dawson is going to play Ahsoka. Holy shit.
That could be great.
Yeah.
I don't think Bill Burr is back for Season 2, though.
He's not. Oh. I heard the same blurb. You heard that on the show where he's like, well, they've already finished shooting. I wasn't in it. I'm like, all right, give us that. Lady!
Disney will never hire him again for leaking that. Okay. So to tie a bow on this, just say the name of the person that you want to run the show at Star Wars. Who do you want to take over for Kathleen Kennedy? Carrot one top. Name. You can't pick two. One name.
Carrot hyphen.
And it can't be Carrot Top.
God damn it.
Carrot Top can't be president and run Lucasfilm. He's the true orange man bad.
JJ Abrams? No.
No, no. So
Ryan Reynolds Murphy, who did part
Ryan Reynolds Murphy. No,
Ryan Reynolds or Murphy, don't you know?
Another thing that we haven't talked about is that the rumor is that Kathleen Kennedy is gonna go work for Bad Robot and start her own little
I saw that. Something about running off with
JJ. Girl Club, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
All right, I got nobody. Who else? Is there anybody else?
You know what? The more I think about it, Favreau. I think he could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do.
I think he's got the history, the passion, the success.
He's got the cred now. He can lead. I think people would be like, this guy knows what he's doing.
And he crosses the boundaries not a weirdo. From Marvel. I mean, fuck.
Yeah.
He's pretty responsible for Marvel.
He started the MCU. I mean,
he did.
With Feige. I mean, he did Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2, and I mean, they were good flicks.
Whoa, there. Let's not forget a little guy named Stan Lee, Excelsior there. He might have had something to do with the start of MCU, you motherfucker. Excelsior.
Touche.
So Three Toes, are you saying Favreau too?
Yeah. I can't think of anybody else right now that has like all the credentials.
Okay. Yeah. Well, just because I need to pick someone else, I was going to pick Favreau, but I'm going to pick, I'm going to pick Lucas.
Even though, get this guy out of here. Get him the fuck out of here.
No.
Lucas, tomorrow, I'm calling it. He's going to step on his jowl, trip, fall down his 17 flights of stairs, and that's it, man.
Well, on that note.
Into a pile of $1,000 bills that lines the first floor of his house.
That's going to cushion the fall.
Does anyone have a fast food field file for this week?
Ooh.
I do if you guys don't.
No.
I thought I did.
My fast food field file for this week is a reiteration of a past fast food field file because I had it and it was delicious. And Doom, I would like to thank you for introducing me to the
White Castle sack of 20 burgers.
You got the grilled cheese burrito, baby.
The grilled cheese burrito was delicious.
Yeah.
And just for you, Three Toes.
Motherfucker.
Covered it in fire.
Yeah.
Covered that shit,
dude.
And it was
did you feel bad afterwards, though? Tell me you did a little bit.
Well, I had it with like a extra large diet Mountain Dew.
I think you know my answer. You know what?
Yeah.
I know the people can't see it, but I am saluting Chewy hard right now.
Wait. The feeling in my left leg just came back.
Okay. Yeah,
from having that meal. Yeah.
Good for you, buddy. Yeah.
I can't read. It's. Despite all the stuff they're taking off the menu, that was...
Wait, just a second.
It, for some reason, it did taste different. Like, it did taste like... You know how sometimes the Taco Bell items, they all seem to be, like, the same thing, just, like, reconfigured in, like, a different form? For some reason, that felt different. It felt like something new for them.
It did. No, I agree. And the taste is... It's good. I mean, they pack that thing, too. Like, I feel like they give you the ingredients. Dude, I can't believe they're taking the quesarito off the menu.
Yeah.
That was... Dude, I loved it.
No, I never liked it.
No?
Another thing I got off the menu, too, was I got a bag of those cinnamon twists.
They're taking those off the menu?
No.
Oh, I say, holy shit.
But I got a bag of them, so that's another reason why I lost feeling in both of my legs after eating that meal.
Dude, you went hard in the paint. Good for you.
Yeah. Is there a bathroom on the Millennium Falcon?
I'd hope so. It's basically just shit in a tube and then it just ejects into space.
No, how does, you know, we've talked about Chewie and, you know, his dang-a-ling. Like, what would it be like? Would it be like human or would it be like a dog?
Lipstick, yep.
Yeah. How does he sit on a toilet or does
how
he squat?
How could it not be like lipstick? Can we just, like, just, it's done. It's lipstick in the same sense that, could you imagine what that dick would look like if it was covered in hair? I mean, how? It's just not, it's not feasible. It has to be lipstick.
Yeah.
It has to be. I'm repulsed. I'm thinking of like a Great Dane with a human dick just dangling between his legs, and it's not a picture I want to think about.
Well, does he sit or squat? Like, does he sit on a toilet or does he squat?
He squats.
He squats? Like a bros? Dog? Huh?
Yeah. No, we just settled the debate forever. Chewbacca has a lipstick dick. He doesn't have a human dick. That's the facts. Deal with it, Three Toes.
Got it.
All right. And on that note, guys and gals, thank you for listening. Check out the asteroidfactory.com. There you can find more information about this episode and all episodes. And there you can leave us a voicemail that we may just play in a future episode of the podcast.
Listen, share, review our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or any podcast app of your choice. And you know, if you like the show, please tell your like-minded friends. Anything you can do to spread the word helps us take over the world.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for up-to-the-minute coverage of what we geek out about. And don't forget this week, watch a movie, read a comic, and do some gaming. I'm Chewy.
I'm Three Toes of Fury.
And I'm James Von Doom. Remember, until the robots rise up, put your ankles in it.